Hey, Pastor Stephen here. Welcome to the Abundant Springs Podcast. If you haven't already, be sure to check us out online at abundantsprings.church and on Facebook at facebook.com/abundantassembly. And now, on to this week's message. Heavenly Father, I just thank you that we can go to your word today, the Bible, that we can learn about the things that you have done in this world, that we can learn how you created us, how you made us, Lord God. Today I just ask that as we look at Genesis, Lord, that you will teach us and that we will just begin to examine these things for ourselves, Lord, that we won't take anything at face value, but that everything that we hear today, that we will go back to the Bible, Lord, that we'll go back to your word, that we will seek you on it, Lord, and that we will just check it for ourselves and that you will show us, Lord, that you will teach us this morning. Lord, I also ask that you'll take these feeble human words that I'm about to speak, and that you'll make them worthwhile through the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, there was a woman that had just recovered from a bloody and brutal beating at the hands of her husband. And after years of violence, she was left with this deep despair that she couldn't overcome. And in spite of marriage counseling and threats on her part and tearful promises on her husband's part, the beatings continued until she no longer had any place to turn. As she considered the hopelessness of her situation, she remembered an offer that a friend had made. "Come to Bible study," the friend had said. "Our pastor is wonderful and you'll really enjoy it." This was a glimmer of hope and an avenue of help that she hadn't explored. And so that night she attended this Bible study and she heard the pastor say that every problem could be solved through prayer. She wanted to believe it. She wanted her husband to believe it too. She wanted to believe that she could rid her home of this terrible violence that had dominated their lives. So she hurried home and she pleaded with her husband to attend this Bible study, to hear what this godly pastor had to say. So as he wanted to please his wife and he wanted to win her favor, the husband agreed. They attended the Bible study the next week, and the next day they confessed to the pastor the violence that had been so much a part of their married life. The pastor listened carefully. And then he turned his chair to face the woman and he began to direct all of his counseling to her. He told her that it was God's plan that the man should dominate the woman. He reminded her of Ephesians 5, 22 to 24, saying, "Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. As the church submits to Christ, so let wives also submit to their husbands in everything." And the pastor told her that she was subject to her husband no matter what he did, and that she must learn to view her sufferings, her beatings, as her personal cross to bear, as an opportunity to be closer to God and to the angels. And so the abuse continued until finally she packed her bags and her children into the family car and she made her way to the local battered woman's shelter. But on the night of her escape, her pastor telephoned the shelter and asked to speak to the woman. But the director of the shelter refused, and after a heated conversation, the pastor told the director to pass on a message to this woman. "Tell her if she isn't home by morning, I'm going to throw her out of my church." See, throughout history, women have been viewed as the property of husbands. And they've been looked down upon. They've been beaten, raped. They've been bought and sold. Even in the Jewish culture, we read about the ancient Jewish prayer that men say as they wake up. They say, "Blessed are you, Lord, our God, ruler of the universe, who has not created me a woman." In retaliation, some women have developed a disdain for all men, a sort of hatred towards them. I want to challenge you today, men, women, how do you think of each other? How do you view each other? What value do you place on one another? Today we'll be looking at Genesis 2, verse 4 to 25, if you're new to the whole Bible thing, that's if you go right to the very beginning of the Bible and you find the table of contents and you go past that a little bit, it's right there. We're continuing our series called In the Beginning. And we've already looked at how God created the universe with a purpose in mind, and that, in fact, God created you for a purpose. We've looked at the Sabbath day, and we've discovered that Sabbath takes the focus from me to He. And today, my hope is that we can discover about God's creation of men and women and learn something from it about this type of situation, how men and women are to relate to one another as we read from the Bible. These are the generations of the heavens and the earth when they were created. In the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, when no bush of the field was yet in the land and no small plant of the field had yet sprung up, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the land, and there was no man to work the ground, and a mist was going up from the land and was watering the whole face of the ground. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Havilah where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Delium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one that flowed around the whole of the land of Cush. And the name of the third river is the Tigris, which flows east of Assyria, and the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for the day that you eat of it you shall surely die." Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helper fit for him." Now out of the ground the Lord God had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens and brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore a man shall leave his father and his mother and shall hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. So as we go back to God's creation of man and woman, what do you see? Do you see this kind of domineering relationship? Or hatred? Or division? Or ownership? Or none of the above? Here's what I see as I read what God has told us about creation. I see that God designed men and women as equal halves of a divine equation. Let me say that again. God designed men and women as equal halves of a divine equation. See, guys are not greater than girls, and girls don't rule while boys drool. You remember that one, right? The playground at school. Yeah. Instead, I see that God created man and woman to exist in an equal partnership. See, when we lose sight of this and we allow ourselves to battle over who is greater, when one sex puts down the other, when one dominates the other, they're operating out of God's intent for them. With that in mind, today we're going to take a closer look at how God created men and women, and I hope that you will conclude with me this thing that's on the screen here, that God designed men and women as equal halves of a divine equation. If you forget everything else that I say, please remember that. Perhaps the best place to start is with their very essence. In this passage, we see that God created men and women from the same stuff. See, some people get so caught up in this idea that women were created after men that they forget and miss the fact that men and women are created essentially from the same stuff. See, first of all, we see that God made them both in His image. In Genesis 1, you see the overview of creation, and God says, "So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them, male and female, He created them." So He didn't create man in the image of God and then create woman in man's image. Both are made in God's image. Secondly, we see that both were made by God. That God breathed into the man and he brought him to life. And while we're not told specifically that God also breathed into the woman, we do know that God put the woman together out of the rib that he took from the man's side. And thus he created Eve, the first woman. Both are made by God. Thirdly, both carry the same essence. Since woman was made out of a part of man, woman and men are intrinsically connected. They share the same stuff. They are like flesh. They are like boned. And as men and women are created from the same stuff, you can see that they end up with the same value, that they are made equal in God's sight. See, God designed men and women as equal halves of a divine equation. Yet does equality equal sameness? I think that's a pretty easy question. If you look at the person of the opposite sex that's sitting next to you or closest to you, you will very quickly see men and women are different. If you've spent any time with people of the opposite sex, you have seen that men and women are different. Equality does not equal sameness. And while we're the same in essence, there are differences. And really, that makes sense because God created men and women to be together. See, there'd be no point to being made to be together if men and women were the same. We're not just created to be companions. Okay, we were to be co-laborers in God's garden. Men and women were to bring different aspects to the world, and they were to procreate and fill the world with other humans. And so God created men and women to be together as equal halves of a divine equation. Now, yes, Paul does note that some people have been gifted with the gift of singleness for ministry, but that isn't for most people. I think that you'll find is most people are created to be together with someone else. Men and women are created to be together. But someone may object, well, you know, if men and women are meant to be together, then why is it that Eve was created as an afterthought? If you're thinking that here today, can I just challenge your assumption that Eve was in fact an afterthought? See, I believe that she was the plan all along. And for starters, let me argue logically that God knows everything for all time all at once. So it could hardly be that he had conceived of Eve after man. That he just suddenly went, you know what? I forgot one. Oops. No, I believe that it was in the plan all along. And then we see that God proclaimed that something was not good for the first time, didn't he? He said, it's not good that man should be alone. When God's saying that it's not good, after all these times that he said that creation was good, he's not turning around and saying, well, you know what, everything's good except for that man. He's not saying, oh, I made a mistake. He's saying it's not complete yet. The job isn't done, so it's not good that man should not or should be alone. So what did God do? He says, I gotta find him a helper that's suitable. I have to make him someone to be with him. And so he brings animals to Adam. And he says, name the animals. So he can name them. And as each one comes to Adam, you gotta wonder what's going through his mind here. Did God share that he was looking for a helper with him? What's going on? But what I can point out is as Adam was naming these animals, it's quite likely he saw them coming to him in pairs. That he saw that each one had a companion, and as he looked, he went, there's no one for me. Who am I to be with? See, I think that God was preparing him to appreciate Eve. That he was showing Adam, hey, look, companionship, you're alone. God was teaching Adam that he was not meant to be alone, that he needed a suitable helper, a suitable companion. So then God creates man and woman, and he designs them to be together and to procreate together. He creates the two, man and then woman. See, I think that God's a smart guy. He wanted to make sure that men and women could understand that they were actually designed for each other, that he didn't just by chance say, you know what, I should probably make two. Be a good idea, you know, if I can't just have a man, there's got to be a woman too, because honestly, I mean, then he's just going to get full of himself and he's going to think, I'm the only human in the world. Look at me, I'm special. They needed to know that they were designed for one another, that they were to help one another, that they were to come together as equal halves of that divine equation that we talked about earlier. And so as equals, they were designed to complement each other. They were two parts that would fit together to complete the picture. You could say that they're like two opposite triangles. Alone, they're a triangle. But you see, when they come together, they create a complete equation. They create a rectangle. They become one. God designed men and women as equal halves of a divine equation. He created them from the same stuff. He made them to be together, and then he created a way to bind them into one unit or one flesh. I'm going to say it. I know it may shock people that we're going to say this word in church. Sex. Here it's made very clear that God created sex to bring a man and a woman together as one flesh. Sex between human men and women, it's different from between the animals. Have you ever heard people say, well, you know, the animals do it this way, the animals procreate this way, and so, you know, it's no different from humans because we're just animals. I mean, that's the difference in the way that we look at things, because we don't believe that we came out just by chance. We believe that we were created by God in the image of God. Sex between a man and a woman binds them together into one flesh. Yes, it causes procreation. And yes, God created it to be pleasurable. But we also see that God designed sex to bind together husband and wife. The sexual relationship was never designed to be between more than one man and one woman. And it was never designed to take place outside of the lifelong commitment of marriage. Have you ever thought about the connotation of one flesh? This isn't Lego we're talking about. You don't just take it apart after you're done and nothing changes. We're talking about one unit, one whole. So through a sexual relationship, a man and a woman play equal but different roles as they're united into one flesh. So, does the Bible give men permission to beat woman, or woman permission to beat men? It kind of looks like some of you aren't sure. No, it does not at all. Did God intend one gender to be more valuable or special than the other? No. We'll get there. Was the pastor in the story that I shared earlier right to tell the woman that it was her duty to submit to being beaten? There we go. See, while the Bible does present the principle of a man being head of his household, the man is also called to give up everything to care for and to love his wife. He's told to love his wife just as Christ loved the church, and that's a tall order. God's son, Jesus Christ, was born, he suffered, died, and 3 days later was rose again because God wanted to provide humanity with a way to life and forgiveness in him. He wanted to ensure that all who confess that Jesus is Lord and believe in their heart that God raised him from the dead can be restored to a right relationship with him. And next week, we'll see why it is that we need that relationship restored. It has to do with humanity rebelling against God and as a result, finding themselves cursed and separated from him. And yet, even while we were still sinners, while we were separated from God, we see that God sent his son to die for us, to take the punishment for our sins so that we could have life. Jesus gave himself up for the sake of the church. So you see, a husband is only the head of his household insofar as he displays the sacrificial of love of Christ towards his wife. If he begins to beat her or demean her, then he is in sin. Essentially, the husband submits his desires to what is best for his wife, and then the wife submits to her husband's leadership. See, men and women are equal, but they are different. They are equal, and in the marriage relationship, they submit to one another, even as God called men to take responsibility for their family. And that's why I say today that God designed men and women as equal halves of a divine equation, because the equation is man plus woman, one flesh. He created us from the same stuff with the intention for us to be together, and he allows a husband and a wife to be united through a sexual relationship. And so here's what I want you to do when you go home today. First, let me talk to those of you who aren't married. I want you to examine your views of the opposite sex and ask yourself, do they fit with the idea that men and women are equals? That they have the same intrinsic value? And if not, begin to ask God to help you change your viewpoint and find respect for others. For those of you who are married, when you go home today, here's what I want you to do. I want you to sit down together and begin to take an inventory of how you are valuing and viewing each other. Some questions that you could ask would be things like, have I made you feel belittled or unimportant? Do we share an equal workload in this relationship? And I know in that one there, there'll be some men that are like, well, you know, I'm at home, or I'm out at work all day, and then I come home and I should be able to put my feet up. Sure, as long as you realize that your wife has been at home all day, if she indeed stays at home, and that when does she get put her feet up? Or if she's working too, you see where I'm getting at? All right. Ask this. Do you feel loved and respected in our relationship? Do you feel valued as an equal partner in this marriage? And what could we do or stop doing to make things better? Questions like these. What I want you to do after you've done that is then pray together and determine to live as God created you to live, because God designed men and women as equal halves of a divine equation. Will you join me in a word of prayer this morning? Lord, I thank you that you've shown us in your word the way that the men and women were created to work together. Lord, that we were created in your image, that we were created to co-labor in the Garden of Eden. Lord, to expand your kingdom throughout the world. And I just ask, Lord, that in every relationship where perhaps things are out of balance and maybe there's abuse by one spouse to another, or hatred or a devaluing, Lord God, that you will just begin to bring balance to that relationship. Lord, that through your wisdom and through your grace, that couple will know the way that they need to address one another and go forward from this place. Lord, I just ask that no one here will ever fall victim to the lie that men are to dominate a woman, that men are to have the permission to beat or to injure emotionally or physically their wives, Lord. But that we will come to this place and that we will see things in just such a light of your grace, of your mercy and your love, Lord. As others look at our relationships, allow them to look at us and see you, to see your love between man and woman. Lord, I ask that as we go from this place today, that you will just work within us, Lord, and that you will help us to go into this world and to begin to build relationships and show love to our community. And Lord, we just pray that you will be softening their hearts even now, Lord, that you'll be readying them to receive a word from you, the gospel, Lord. They will come to know that you truly desire to save them, that you love them. So we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the Abundant Springs Podcast. Tune in next week for more Bible-based encouragement.